Thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
This is what the Lord has to say to you. Listen to these words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's why he says to you, for this reason, or wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, look at this phrase again, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. And then we begin the list of armor. Listen to what we've already covered. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And that brings us up to this moment, because today we're studying a new piece of armor. Here's what it says next. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Today, what we want to talk about is the helmet of salvation. Take a look at the scripture with me. Here it is. Take the helmet of salvation. Now, watch with me a little bit longer on this text here, because the punctuation, and maybe on another occasion we'll get into this difference, but it's only a comma here and not a semicolon or a colon, because the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is very connected to the helmet of salvation. But that's a little farther than we want to go today. What we want to do today is talk about this piece of armor, which is for you, and it's called the helmet of salvation, the piece of armor. Now look at this. The piece of armor we're talking about today is the helmet. And the scripture says, take the helmet. Now, before we get too far down the road, I want you to understand with me a couple of things. God speaks to the heart in order to reach the head. Satan speaks to your head in order to influence your heart. God has constructed you and I in such a way that the only way that Satan can get to your heart is through your head. Your head is very important. I know some people thought they, you know, once they become a Christian, sort of chop your head off and don't use their head anymore. Nothing could be further from the truth, as we're going to see today. In fact, it's very difficult to have a heart set in the direction of God while your head is going a different direction. So that's why God speaks to the heart. You see, the heart has reasons that reason knows not of. God, see, it's with the heart man believes unto salvation. So the heart's very important, but so is your head. And so God has designed a specific piece of equipment, a specific piece of armor just for your head. Now look at this. We're talking about the helmet, and we also learned that the part that the helmet protects is the head. And then thirdly, I want you to see this, that in fact the helmet is made out of salvation. And we want to discover what salvation has to do with your head, because most of us have thought it had to do with our heart. Let's look at this next verse with me. O God, the Lord, listen to this, the strength of my salvation. Now watch this phrase, and I hope, of course, by now that you've already got your notebooks out and your paper and or your paper and pencil pen. But watch this now. Look at this scripture. Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Now, if you're going to be in a battle, one thing you want to protect, of course, you want yourself, your whole body protected. That's why we gird our loins with the truth. That's why we got our boots on. We've learned about that. And the breastplate of righteousness, and we've already talked about, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. But you certainly, in battle, want protection for your head. And that's why God has got for you a very special piece of equipment. And before we learn today how your head is protected by salvation, and that's what we're going to learn, and we're going to learn how do you put on this piece of equipment, this helmet. But I want you to know something else up front first. I want you to understand that there's nothing wrong with the equipment that God has designed for you. It always works. There's nothing wrong with the equipment. It's reliable. And the reason that we lose in the battles of life is because normally we have rejected or haven't known about, or if we have known about, we have not put on these pieces of armor that God has specifically designed to fit you day and night. You can sleep in them. They're so comfortable, but they're also very reliable. So what we want to learn now is how salvation is to protect the head. And in order to do that, let's first talk about what is this thing to which we refer when we call it salvation. So in your notes, jot down these 9 things about salvation. And if we had had time, there's probably 200 things in the Bible about salvation that we should know. But here's just a few of them. Number 1, salvation is, first of all, a provision of God. Look at the scripture. I have longed for, look at this, thy salvation. This is God's idea. I need to slow down just a little bit. Look at the scripture a bit longer. I've longed for thy salvation, and thy law is my delight. Remember I talked about the helmet of salvation and taking the sword of the Spirit? Here these two are connected again in this text, salvation and the word of God, the law, which is his delight. Let's look at another verse. Lord, I have hope for thy salvation. I want you to know that salvation is the provision of God. It's God's idea. And again, look at this link between salvation and the word of God. You see, the scripture says that salvation is of the Lord. In fact, let's look a little farther and understand that David put it this way. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. The Lord is. It is a provision of the Lord. In fact, verses that we well know and quote so freely from the New Testament, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Look at this. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the first thing you need to know about salvation is it's God's idea, and it is the provision of God. Now, the second thing is we have to understand that salvation that's provided by God is in Christ alone. Here's a very important verse. You see, salvation doesn't come just through any religious thought or any religious system that we might choose. Don't forget that religion is man's search for God, but Jesus is God searching for man. Look at this now. In Acts, neither is there salvation in any other. Listen to this. There is no salvation in anybody else. Look at this text. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is in Christ alone. But I want you to understand that this wonderful salvation is a beautiful thing. One scripture says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Listen to this. This is so warm. This is so inviting. This is so illuminating. This is so comforting. Listen to it. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. One verse puts it this way. The Son of Man has come. Oh, I love this about the Lord. You see, it's not our searching for God. It's God searching for us. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Salvation is the provision of God, and secondly, it's in Christ and Christ alone. And then, thirdly, we must understand that salvation is deliverance from sin. Now, I want to show it to you in 3 tenses. First of all, look here. Salvation is deliverance from sin. It's deliverance from past sin, forgiveness from past sin. Look at this scripture. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Salvation has 3 tenses to it. It delivers you from past sin, present sin, and in the future, the presence of sin. Watch it now. Because he not only forgives us from past sin, but look at this. He gives us power over present sin. Look at the scripture. For sin shall no longer have dominion over you. See, he not only saves us from the past sin by forgiving it, but he delivers us from the power of present sin. Oh, don't ever get off track on this. Jesus just doesn't see, Christians are not just forgiven sinners. The fact is that he delivers us from the power of sin. Sin doesn't run us anymore. Otherwise, we'd still be stuck in our sins and we wouldn't be much changed at all. What would be the advantage of that kind of salvation? But see, real Bible salvation is deliverance from past sin by forgiveness. We were delivered from the power of present sin. And look at this, we shall be delivered someday from the presence of sin. For the Bible says that in one moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound. Look at this. And the dead shall be raised, look at this, incorruptible, without sin, and we shall be changed. You see, he is going to take us out of here to a land where there is no sin. No more sorrow, no more heartache, no more tears, for God himself shall wipe away all tears from their eye. Saved from past sin, saved from the power of present sin, and in the future we will save from the very presence of sin. Now, I also want you to understand that salvation is deliverance not only from sin, but it's deliverance from iniquity. For the same scripture that says he was wounded for our transgressions, look at this, he was bruised for our iniquities. I want you to see another verse about this word iniquity, and it's beyond the scope of our time together this moment to talk about iniquity, but we have probably 2 or 3 hours of teaching on video that you should get your hands on if you don't know the difference between sin and iniquity. See, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Look at this scripture. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, look at this, sent him, that is Jesus, to bless you. Look how, in turning every one of you away from his iniquities. So it's salvation from sin, it's salvation from iniquities. Number 5, salvation is peace with God. The same text that says he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, now says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. One verse in the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then salvation is deliverance from sickness and disease. Remember the scripture, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And listen to this. And by his stripes, we are healed. Salvation is to include healing and health. Psalm 103 puts it this way. Who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. Now, there are those who suggest that this is not just healing of the body. They say it's the healing of the soul. And that this scripture is not talking about physical sicknesses, and I would beg to differ with them. That this verse in Isaiah is not just healing for the sicknesses of the soul. In fact, if you go to the New Testament, here's what it says. Jesus, when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. And he healed all that were sick. Now watch the next verse. He healed all that were sick. Look here. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Jesus tells us that the meaning of this verse in Isaiah is that salvation is to include deliverance from sicknesses and disease. And then salvation is deliverance from poverty. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And salvation is deliverance from failure. Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. He comes to give you a brand new start, and all the failures of the past get left behind, and everything is brand new. And then, lastly, I want you to know that salvation is for everyone. Paul put it this way, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Watch this now. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. One verse says, he's able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God by Christ Jesus. So salvation, if we're going to understand how to put on this helmet of salvation, we must understand, as we've gone through a few points, of what this salvation is. You might say, well, how does a person find out about salvation? And I want you to know that it's not difficult. Watch this verse with me. The Lord hath made his salvation, his righteousness, made known his salvation. Look at this. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He has made known his salvation. In fact, in Titus chapter 2, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. So everybody intuitively or in some way knows about this provision of the Lord. But if you want to know the details, it comes from the scripture. Look at this. From a child, thou hast known, look at this, the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So you can find out about salvation. And if you have any doubts, you look to the scriptures. Well, of course, the question that needs to be answered by everyone is, how do we receive salvation? So I want to cover one verse for you with you. Look at this. For if, here's what the scripture says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as your Lord, Jesus as your master, Jesus as your boss, but he's not a bossy boss, making him the manager of your life. If thou shalt confess him as your manager and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what happens is when you confess, your life is under the management of God, you become a Christian. You don't have to confess all your sins to become a Christian, because you probably can't remember them all. So if your having salvation depends on bringing up all your past wrongs, forget it, you'll never make it. What you have to confess before, in order to become a Christian, is not all your sins. Certainly that you are a sinner. But what we confess is that Jesus is the Lord of our life. Now, we've got a problem, however, with this today. It's probably best, look in this scripture and see it with me. They have not all obeyed the gospel. As Isaiah saith, for who hath believed our report? Here's the problem. That salvation is being supposedly offered to people today that doesn't require any change, any transformation, or any obedience. And I want you to know that that's a false gospel. When a person believes sufficiently, it will change their obedience. Look at the scripture. They have not obeyed, as Isaiah said, who hath believed. There is a direct connection between genuine believing and obedience. You see, the evidence of believing is obeying. Obeying is proof of sufficient faith. Did you catch that? I think I've quoted to you before the words of that great theologian during the Hitler regime, imprisoned in Nazi Germany, wrote a book called No Dusty Swords. Another one of his books was about grace. And he said this: only those who really believe obey. And only those who obey really believe. Look at this scripture. They have not all obeyed because they haven't all believed sufficiently. So how are they going to get faith to believe? They are going to have to do it, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing about the word of God. Don't make any mistake about salvation. It requires a change of government, a change of lordship, from self-rule to Christ's rule, from us being in charge to his being in charge. Look at this scripture. And being made perfect, this is referring to Jesus, he became the author of eternal salvation. Look at this. Unto all them that obey him. It isn't just saying, Lord, Lord. For the one time Jesus put it this way. He said, why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say? In Matthew 7:21, Jesus put it this way. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of God. It's obedience is the proof of genuine faith. So how do you receive salvation? You change the government of your life from self-rule to Christ's rule. From self-management to God's management. We come under his lordship and his kingdom. All right. Now let's get to this thing about the helmet of salvation. Why is it necessary to put on the helmet of salvation? And how do you do it? Now watch this. Because putting on the helmet of salvation, here's what it is. It is firmly establishing salvation thoughts in your mind so that no contrary thoughts can rival or prevail. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. We said it is the head that must be protected. You see, the head is the control center. It's the head that follows the intent of the heart. Attitudes and actions are here. Salvation must affect the head. In fact, the scripture says, receiving the end of the faith, even the salvation of your soul. The head, the mind, is where the battlefield is. This is where fear attacks you. Uncertainty is a mental condition. Anxiety comes from wrong thoughts. And thoughts are the seeds of future acts. Thoughts are like blueprints. Thoughts persisted in will pass into the cells and tissues of the body and affect your physical health. Thoughts persisted in will determine future behavior. What we think becomes materialized. That's why the scripture says, incline your ear to me, come unto me, hear and your soul shall live. Now, we're getting to the bottom line. I don't want to miss you. There's an intensity that I really want you to grasp here. Satan's chief work is to get you to think wrong thoughts. If he can get you to think you're a sick, you'll be sick. If he thinks get you to think you're weak, he'll try to get you to think you're helpless. He'll try to get you to think you're unhappy, that you're mistreated by God, that you're mistreated by others, that you are facing calamities, that the future is uncertain, that you're financially and physically and mentally, morally and spiritually living in a land where there's no certainty. Satan will try to get you to accept past wrong situations as if they were the will of God simply because they happened. He knows that wrong thoughts persisted in will cause certain events to come to pass. That's why if he can get you to think lust thoughts. Remember James says that when lust is thought about, when it's conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Don't err about this, my beloved. Scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why you want to be very careful dealing with your children. Don't be constantly reminding them of their wrongs. In fact, forgive them. Forgiveness gets the stuff out of the way so that a relationship can be what it should be. That's why the scripture says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unright man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and God, and he will abundantly pardon him. For God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. How do you put on the helmet of salvation? Here's what it means. Putting on the helmet means, make sure you get this in your notes. Here it is. Firmly establishing the salvation thoughts in your mind so that no contrary thoughts can rival or prevail. Let me say it one more time. Firmly establishing the salvation thoughts in your mind so that no contrary thoughts can rival or prevail. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. What is it that must be exchanged? It's our thoughts. Because all these thoughts are coming at us. For example, There are pre-Calvary thoughts. You did something wrong. Satan will tell you about that. But see, if you think about what he told you, about what you did, you'll have a depression. But if you can think salvation thoughts, yes, I did that, but Jesus forgave it. Jesus cleansed it right out of my life. Now you've got your helmet on because you've got the salvation thoughts. You've got the Calvary thoughts. Let's review that scripture one more time in Isaiah. Let the wicked forsake his way. Look at this. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. And what we want to do is get back to God, let God pardon, and we want to get the thoughts of God that are so much higher than our thoughts. In fact, it's not only necessary to get the right thoughts, but to keep the right thoughts. Not enough to put the helmet on, but you must keep the helmet on. In closing, let me tell you 4 steps on how to keep the helmet of salvation on. The God thoughts, the salvation thoughts. Number one, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Look at this scripture. Work out the details of your salvation, for it's God which worketh in you. Work out the details about sin and iniquity and fear and trembling. Get those salvation thoughts in your mind. Work them out. Number two, do not neglect salvation. Do not neglect. Look at this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? To neglect means to pay little or no attention to fail to heed or to disregard. It means to fail to take care for or attend to properly, to fail to do or to carry out as though as through carelessness or oversight. Don't neglect the salvation thoughts. And number three, meditate in salvation thoughts day and night. You see, watch this. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Look at this. God is not in all his thoughts. Somebody who's got the helmet on has got salvation thoughts on all the times. Having your helmet on is having God in all your thoughts. Now, let's close with one more idea about this. Number four, learn to rejoice in your salvation. Look at this last verse. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of, look at this phrase, the wells of salvation. You see, the salvation thoughts are so deep. You can draw out of them as your primary resource. And there isn't one thought of the enemy that can get through if you've got the helmet. If you've got the helmet of salvation. If you've got the salvation thoughts, why those thoughts are so deep, they'll not only comfort you in the deepest parts of your being, but they'll protect any enemy attack against your mind. And you'll know what it means to have a sane, sound mind.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.